Hey, I'm Mary.
And I'm Jake.
And you're listening to The Fly Angle, the official RDU Airport podcast. We're back for another episode of The Fly Angle, episode 4.
First episode of 2021. New year, new RDU.
Hey, Jake, I'm feeling that mantra.
Yeah. Our idea here is that 2021 can only get better.
Indeed. Right? New year, new RDU. Well, Jake, traditionally this is a quiet time for travel, but we've been seeing a little trending upward in terms of our passenger traffic levels.
Yeah, really encouraging upward trend on passenger volume. You're seeing that not just at RDU, you're seeing it at other airports too, particularly leisure-based airports. So I think we mentioned on a previous episode, Mary, that leisure travelers are coming back to flying more quickly than business travelers, and absolutely continuing to see that trend.
I was really surprised to see that the post-pandemic peak for travel this year, it's typically Thanksgiving.
Right.
However, we saw our peaks around the Christmas and New Year's window of time. So that's interesting.
Yeah. December 28th week was the busiest week that RDU has had since the pandemic began. So really fascinating. And honestly, the next 2 months, which like you said, are traditionally kind of a quiet period for this airport, it's going to be really interesting to see how it turns out, but very encouraging.
Yes, I'm definitely excited to see some more folks around the airport campus. Speaking of new year, new RDU, we've got some dots that we're adding to the map. And on our side, you know, the communications angle, we're always excited to add those dots to our graphics and our maps and that kind of thing. But for airlines and travelers, the good news is we're connecting you.
Yeah, we're excited to get some of those dots on the map, as you call them, back very soon. Air service is starting to come back slowly but surely. We'll get into some of the specifics here later in the pod, but always a good thing to be able to go directly nonstop where you want to go, right?
Exactly.
We have a good airmail question today. Are you ready?
Awesome. Let's go.
Okay, so today's question comes from Nicholas Antoine. Nicholas writes, with family in France and in Cary, I'm a frequent flyer on the Delta flight between RDU and Paris CDG. Love it. Very convenient. So while I patiently wait for it to return, could you share some facts and figures regarding the flight? Good question, Nicholas. We love that flight too, obviously. It has not been active since the pandemic. Delta has hit pause on that, as well as a number of other flights. While we wait for it to return, we can absolutely talk about it. Maybe we should start with how we got to having that flight. It took years and years of air service recruitment to land the Delta nonstop flight to Paris. Many community partners were involved. The Research Triangle Foundation is a good example of an organization who was heavily involved. All that culminated in then launching the flight, and I think that was in 2016, right, Mary?
That was the case, yes. Flight 230 was served by a Boeing 757. Then just a year later, Delta replaced the 757 with a bigger plane, the 767. In that first year, about 75,000 people flew on it. Jake, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's really impressive. Obviously, we love seeing the wide-bodied aircraft. That 76 is very popular.
It is. And Jake, I remember one of my first experiences here at the airport. In episode 1, we had Ashley in ops, and she took me out on the airfield, and we literally were able to see that huge, enormous plane fly over us and land. I've got a video of it, and I felt like I hit the lottery. It's just a tremendous sight.
Yeah, between the 76 that Delta flies to Paris and then the 777 that American flies to London, that's always a fun afternoon, particularly because, you know, if you remember when they were flying actively, they would be on the ramp at the same time. So
yes,
having them next to each other and then call it like a 737, maybe a gate or two down, mm-hmm, you can really see the stark difference between those two aircraft, or those three aircraft rather.
Exactly. And can you talk about that flight? Give our listeners a few details about that specific flight in our market.
Yeah. So here's something really fascinating about Delta's Paris service. For the RDU market, one interesting aspect of that is the high percentage of flyers originating from RDU who would continue on to international destinations beyond Paris. So that's elsewhere in Europe, it's India, it's Africa, it's the Middle East. When it was all said and done, Delta flies on to something like 70 international destinations after Paris. So that's a wonderful bit of connectivity for the Research Triangle and for North Carolina.
Absolutely. And we definitely look forward to the return of that flight. I know I personally, Jake, took a flight to, I was one of those folks that was connecting at CDG, and I took a flight that to JFK, then to CDG, and then to Morocco. And during my time there, I escaped for a little bit and I got to sightsee, and it was just amazing. So that nonstop flight, having shaved off a couple more hours and not having to go to New York prior, would have allowed me a little more sightseeing to maybe explore more of Paris. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I will fully admit to have been doing some daydreaming about visiting Paris and flying nonstop there, and going to the Louvre and having a nice dish at my favorite restaurant is Les Hommes, which is near the Eiffel Tower. So hopefully we can do that soon.
Yes. My son went last year and brought me back some food. And Jake, when I tell you that I ate 2 croissants in like 1 minute, I'm not lying.
Very nice.
So I don't know if I had a favorite place in Paris, but I definitely have a favorite food from Paris.
Well, do you want to get into some headlines, Mary?
Let's do it. New flights continue to return to RDU. Delta Airlines and JetBlue have announced service to several cities beginning in February. And American Airlines recently restored its nonstop service to DCA.
Yeah, that's exciting. We have a lot of new routes coming back online soon. Let me walk you through them. Obviously, you mentioned the service from American to DCA that has already started. Very excited about that. February 11th is a big day at the airport. Delta will be adding Jacksonville and Austin, Texas. That same day, JetBlue will be adding Austin, Texas, Jacksonville, Newark, Orlando, and Tampa. And it took me a second because I'm reading the airport codes and not the city names.
And he's really a pro for all you listeners. Jake is so good at that.
And so we'll keep it going. And March 2nd, Delta will start up their Las Vegas nonstop service. And then 2 days later, March 4th, JetBlue will also start Las Vegas service as well as, wait for it, San Francisco.
Incredible. And, you know, we've really been waiting for that connectivity to come back to the West Coast. So this is great news for RDU.
Totally.
Yes. Also, big news for RDU, a new report from NCDOT Division of Aviation highlights North Carolina Airport's impact on the economy. They look at workforce, economy, and tax base, and the report finds that North Carolina's public airports annually contribute $61 billion to the state's economy, supporting 373,000 jobs that generate $15 billion in personal income and $2.5 billion in state and local tax revenues.
Wow, those are big numbers.
That's a lot of money.
So that really underscores just how vital aviation is to the state of North Carolina, really everywhere, but certainly North Carolina. Not just RDU, but all of the other airports from Charlotte all the way to like Wilmington, Asheville, and even, you know, you talk about the regional airports. These guys are all absolutely vital to their regional and community economies and the state economy. So let's talk a little bit about RDU stats from that report. NCDOT found that RDU itself contributes $15.1 billion in annual economic impact on the region, and supports more than 99,000 local and regional jobs. Almost got to 100,000.
I know.
Also found that RDU creates about $3.5 billion in personal income. And then our state and local governments will be happy to hear this. The airport generates about $518 million in state and local taxes every year. So that's not for nothing. That's a lot of money.
It's a significant economic, I mean, just a tremendous impact on the region. We are a powerhouse. And you think about connectivity and whatnot. You don't think always about jobs. You don't think about taxes. And so, you know, it's even more critical why we need to come out of this, recover hopefully soon, and see people return to travel.
Yeah, there's definitely urgency in wanting to restore that economic contribution. Obviously, we are focused on doing it safely and keeping people healthy. So there's a bit of a yin and yang there.
Exactly. Well, finally, the CDC recently announced that it will require a negative COVID-19 test for all air passengers entering the United States. Passengers will be required to get a viral test, which is a test for a current infection, within 3 days of their flight departing to the United States. The new requirement began January 26th, and it's important that our listeners are up to date and informed on that kind of thing. It's a big deal.
Yeah, if you're planning on flying internationally, this is now a requirement for you and everybody. It's a federal mandate. It certainly is going to be felt locally here at RDU for international travelers. So this affects not just people flying to RDU, it it also affects if you are flying from North Carolina to an international destination and then planning to come back. So let me walk you through some of the specifics. Those people must also provide written documentation of their test result to the airline or provide documentation of having recovered from COVID-19 itself. Those airlines will have to confirm the negative test result for all passengers or documentation of recovery before they board the aircraft. If a passenger does not provide documentation of a test or recovery, or chooses not to take a test even, the airline will deny boarding to that passenger. So there's a lot of documentation involved. As an airport, we can't really speak to testing availability in the destinations that we're flying to. So the short version is, if you're planning on flying internationally, be aware of these new regulations. Go to cdc.gov, read about them, and then have a plan. Have a plan for what you're going to do to get your negative test before you return to RDU or to North Carolina.
RDU maintains multifaceted airport operations, one of which is a comprehensive noise program. Recently, the airport launched a new noise webpage that covers airport runway operations, provides a FAQ about noise at RDU, community outreach, and much more. So this episode, we are pleased to welcome our airport noise officer, John Wytrek, to the Fly Angle. Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. It's a real pleasure.
All right. Many people don't realize that there is such a thing as an airport noise officer. What exactly does your role here entail?
Right, that's a good question. So I really think my job has three main aspects: educate, communicate, and investigate. It's a really good example of the airport's efforts to be very community friendly. When an airport has a noise officer, it shows that they really care about the surrounding community and keeping good communications with them. I use all the tools we have, which we have a lot in my office, to kind of track the data for the airport noise, help answer any questions we might have from the community. And I just wanted to say, it's not all noise complaints I get. It's really, that's only about 50% of it. The other 50% is new people to the area that are just looking for data and what they can expect when they're looking at potential properties. So while you might think I just take noise complaints all day, it's a lot of really just communication with the community.
I like that. That's really interesting, and I want to dig deeper into it. But I'd love to hear about your background and kind of how you landed at RDU, specifically in this role.
All right. So I was actually born and raised in Raleigh. I spent a lot of my childhood at the airport. And when I was 14, I started taking flying lessons. And when I was a junior and senior in high school, I actually worked for a small aircraft freight company here at the airport. So I got a lot of history here at RDU. I moved out of North Carolina in 2003 to go down to Florida for college. I went to flight school in Florida, and I studied flight, and I also studied kind of the management and business side of this industry. I got a couple degrees in that, and then I worked in airport operations, which is kind of, you know, the dealing with the construction and the planning and the actual airfield itself.
The day-to-day flow.
Yeah, the day-to-day stuff. But I did that for 5 years, and then I got a job as an actual airport manager down in South Florida. And I did that for the past 7 years. And while I was in that position, I also did some teaching at the university I went to, as well as another one. So I kind of have a diverse background. It's not noise-centric, but I don't think anybody's in this industry is exactly noise. And I really think that my diverse background has given me the opportunity to see it from all the different viewpoints. So the flying that I've done, the airport management stuff that I've done, the working with the airport businesses, so I can kind of see the airplane noise dynamic from all those different viewpoints. So it kind of helps me communicate better with all those stakeholders. So yeah, that's a little bit about my background.
Cool. There is a lot of nuance to the aircraft noise field. And I imagine it's a field that the layperson, so the average passenger maybe, probably doesn't know a ton about. What's the most common misconception about aircraft noise?
Right. So there's a few, but kind of the big one that's going on right now is I get a lot of calls and people say, you know, there's airplanes flying over my house. I never hear airplanes. And when we kind of look into the data and we dig into it, because we can go back and look at, you know, the flight tracks going back, you know, decades. And we kind of look at it, it's like, well, the airplanes have always been there. So then I kind of say, well, what's changed in your life? And what we found with the COVID-19 is people are at home more. So the misconception is, oh, you guys are flying more airplanes over my house, when the actual reality is that they're just home more. And it's not only that they're home more, it's also that the ambient noise, what we call ambient noise, which is, you know, vehicle traffic, outdoor activities like construction, as that has declined, people can hear the airplane noise easier.
I imagine this year especially has been kind of unique in that people are, you know, home for quarantine or whatever have you, and they're just hearing things that they're not used to.
Yeah, exactly. They're home. They're trying to work from home. Whereas, you know, before COVID, they're at home, but they're busy watching movies or playing with their kids or playing or making noise of their own inside. When they're sitting at home in their home office and they're trying to focus on their work, you know, the slightest noise outside can kind of trigger a response. But, you know, believe it or not, as you guys know, our traffic's actually down, whereas the noise inquiries have kind of increased. And it's a result of that being at home.
I'm sure that keeps you really busy.
Yeah, it keeps me busy. But, you know, we got a great community and the people are extremely understanding. You know, they're actually interested in why versus just, you know, laying their complaint out. They actually want to know the data. And that's where those tools come into place, that I can actually give them that data.
That's an excellent segue. You've mentioned data a lot. RDU has a flight tracking system. Can you explain what that is and how someone in the community might access it?
Right. RDU has a contract with a company we work with called Casper Airport Solutions. And they're an industry leader when it comes to airplane noise, and the tracking of that data. So the system that we have, it has access to the exact same radar data that the FAA uses, the Federal Aviation Administration, to direct those airplanes. So whatever they're seeing on their radar, we get that same data on our Casper system so we can track those same flights and look at them. And that's 24 hours a day, 365 days. The great thing is the public now actually has access with that new website you mentioned. They can actually access that same software. So we'll talk about
that's
that.
That's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And all that can be found in the flight tracking section of our website. The great thing about our system, not only can we track, you know, and look at the flight paths and the altitudes that they're at, we actually have 6 strategically located noise monitors in our surrounding community where we can actually listen to the decibel level. So how loud those airplanes are, we can listen to that and track that data. So when somebody calls in and says 10:30 last night, I heard an airplane fly over, not only can I look and say, okay, that was XYZ flight, I can actually look at the data and say, okay, that was this loud. And then we can kind of dig into, well, why was it that loud? Were the clouds a certain way? Was it flying a different pattern for whatever reason? So it's extremely helpful to have this system. And it shows great foresight on the part of the airport authority to put that system in place. I was lucky enough last year when I came here to walk in and you guys already had that system. Otherwise, I'd probably be fighting for it. So it's a good thing.
So here's something I've always wondered about. Can you explain the airport's role versus the role of someone like the FAA when it comes to aircraft noise? How does that work?
That could have been an answer to the misconception question as well, because a lot of people think, you know, the airport is their gateway to aviation. The airport controls the airlines. We control the way the airplanes fly, and we actually don't. When it comes to the way the airplanes fly, that's actually completely controlled by the FAA. I always tell people, if you jump off the ground at an airport, you're under the control of the FAA. Because as soon as you leave the ground, the FAA is telling you what to do in the air. So while the airport has the responsibility to maintain the great facilities and the great airfield that we see here at RDU, it's actually the FAA that controls the way the airplanes fly to and from the airport. And that's not just here. That's the entire national airspace system. That's dictated and controlled by the federal government through the FAA.
That's, again, a lot of helpful information, and that information is also on the noise webpage on RDU.com.
Right.
John, you have been exposed to a lot of different roles, and so I think you bring a unique perspective to your role as noise officer. Can you talk about what the most interesting part of your role is?
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting things about it, but if I had to pick one, and one of the things that I've really enjoyed here about being at RDU is I get to work very closely with the planning department. So I get to be part of kind of that community liaison, and I get to offer a viewpoint from a noise expert and saying basically, you know, developments in this area can experience this, or developments in that area can experience that. And it's not just for off airport, it's also for on airport. When we look at new developments on the airport, I get to kind of weigh in from my office with that as well.
Very nice. So you mentioned a website earlier. Where can someone go to learn more about aircraft noise, specifically at RDU?
You're going to want to go to RDU.com, and you're going to want to find the RDU noise section. And with the help of our great communications team, we rolled out the new website last month. And I've gotten great feedback so far. It's a really, really good upgrade from our old website. And I really think that it is a great tool. Your first question about what I do every day, I talked about educate, investigate, and communicate. And that is kind of how I approach my job. But I also see the opportunity using that new website for the community to go on that website, educate themselves, investigate what they want to know about, and then communicate with me about what they find and how they want to deal with their specific issue. From that website, you can actually submit inquiries to me or complaints to me. And if you don't want to do it through email and online, my phone number is 919-840-2100. And I will get back to you as soon as possible. And we can kind of dig into that great plethora of data that we have access to.
That's great. John Weitrack, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you guys so much.
We have covered a lot, as always, and we want to include you in our next episode. Of course, you know, we've had our noise expert on today, and we hope that you can direct your inquiries and questions to him. But we've also had other airport experts on the podcast. And if you've got a question for them, airmail is the best place that you can submit that, and we can get you on the show maybe.
Yeah, and if there's somebody from around the airport you want to hear from that you haven't heard from yet, we'd love to hear that too. We're trying to kind of shine a light on all corners of the airport campus, right?
Yeah.
So we could also use your help in another way. If you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we'd love to make sure that people know about us and know what this podcast is about. Whether you live in the RDU area or if you just love aviation and want people to hear more about it, leave us a review on there. Let us know how we're doing and tell your friends. So make sure you're also subscribed to us. You can subscribe to The Fly Angle wherever you listen to the pod, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Be sure to share it with people.
Absolutely. And you can always stay fresh on what's new at the airport by visiting RDU.com. A little shameless plug, you can also subscribe to our insider newsletter, a wealth of information in that newsletter that comes out monthly. You can also follow us on social media using @RDU Airport.
Good stuff.
Yes, we hope to connect with you soon.
All right, see you next time.